Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018, episode 14.07, the NFL Week 5 show. And then there were only two. Only two undefeated teams remain in the National Football League, the Rams and the Chiefs. Now, Steve will have something to say about the Chiefs and their 4-0 record. Which team is going to remain undefeated the longest? He and I will answer that question. And we'll look at the division leaders and which one of those division leaders will actually be there in the end. Plus, we have a good old boy for the first time this season, and I finally get a win in the challenge game. Booyah, touchdown. Let's chop it in.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, Steve, what do you think of the Kansas City Chiefs and their 4-0 record?
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. Yes. Dripping sarcasm. I am under protest. I am filing a grievance with the NFL on multiple games, including that one.
So wait a minute. So are you filing a protest on the challenge game? Or you're conceding I get the challenge game.
Oh, you won. Well, yeah, the Chiefs won the game.
Okay,
so
good.
I'm not challenging. I picked the Broncos. You went Chiefs. The NFL says the Chiefs won the game. I'm
right.
Protesting to the NFL.
Okay.
That they made some bad calls on that and a few other games.
There were bad calls all over
everywhere,
the place.
But yes, only like two of them really upset me
because they affect you.
Because they affect me. The rest of them are, you know, that's just the way the ball rolls.
I had the Browns beating Oakland, and I mean, I had that game in the bag up until the refs decided to.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we're going to overturn a first down call with a minute 41 left. That was horrible.
End of
so
the game, and they're really because the overturning of a call, it has to be egregious. Like you
right.
see it, and you're just like, man, that was so close from whatever angle you looked at it.
And unless they had another angle that we couldn't see, and I don't know how they would have it, how did they determine where that first down marker was in relation to where he went down when
correct.
The elbow and the...
And my understanding is if it's called a first down in the field, which it was,
yes,
you stick with that.
You stick with it unless there is overwhelming evidence to the contrary. I don't know where that evidence was. I think there are only two people in the entire world that saw overwhelming evidence to overturn that. That one goes my way? Fine. That would have been nice.
The Chiefs, though.
The Chiefs.
You had a grievance with their final drive, which produced
what,
the game.
Second and seven, third and seven. I can't remember exactly what the down was. That play clock was at zero for 2.5 seconds before they snapped the ball.
Okay, now I have to be honest here. I had family. My half-sister came in from North Carolina. She's been here. She was here since Saturday. My uncle and his family came in. We had a great weekend. And Monday, they decided, let's go to Disneyland. So we had a long, blank day at Disneyland.
You don't do a half a day at Disneyland.
No. You do not. And not only Disneyland, we did both. We did Disneyland and California Adventure.
Oh, yes.
The Hopper going back and forth. Crazy. Lots of fun. Uncle, if you're listening, we had a blast. Great to have you. Anytime, mi casa, su casa. But I had no Monday Night Football for me. And as we're at Disneyland, it starts dawning on me that the game is getting ready to kick off. I'm like, this is the challenge game, and I don't even get to enjoy it.
And it was a good game, except for the end.
Except for the end. Well, it was good for me. All I know is I see a tweet sometime throughout
the evening.
It was
about halftime I start getting arrogant about that. Yeah.
Okay, Steve sends a tweet out saying,
and just before I hit send on it, I knew I shouldn't.
He sends a tweet that says, are we about to see Steven lose his third straight challenge game? And so, of course, now I don't know, we were like on the Grizzly River Rapids ride getting soaked or whatever. And I'm like, damn it, now I got to freaking try and find out what's going on in this game. So we get off the ride, and I'm drying off my phone because we're soaked. You get soaked on that ride. And I look at the score, and it's 13-10 at the half, right? Denver was up 13-10?
Yep.
So I'm like, come on, it's 13-10. You're acting like, you know, it's game.
But you were expecting it to be
afraid.
35-3 at halftime in favor of the Chiefs. So the fact that Denver was not only in it but ahead at half.
Yeah, I when I saw your tweet, I was like, oh my God, what's the score? Because I'm thinking it's Denver, 28, Kansas City 10 or something like that. And it's 13-10, and I'm like, that's not so bad. What's going on? So then at about 7:30, my uncle starts saying, he's a 65-year-old uncle. He's up in his age, but he was here, for his daughter and, it's his daughter's celebration. And he's like, yeah, I think we're done. I need some food. We need dinner. And I'm like, yeah, dinner's good. And I'm like, where can we go to dinner where I could watch dinner the game? So we go to Wood Ranch, which is a great, steakhouse, barbecue stuff. And they sit us because we have a large party. There's 10 of us. We can't see the TV. So I'm like, plus I can't really be, I can't like break out my phone and watch it on my phone.
Oh, that's very nice of you. I would have.
That's not good.
But I'd also have three other people at the table wanting to see the game.
So I don't get to see the game, but we get in the car and we turn it on and we hear the final. And I'm like, so I'm going to tweet back. Never had a doubt. And Steve's like, yeah, right, sure, whatever, dude. But honestly, I didn't see a snap. So
you didn't have a doubt because you didn't have an opportunity to doubt the outcome.
The outcome, yeah. So
I love the technicalities.
Yeah, the technicalities. That whole explanation, I just spent the first 6 minutes of the show explaining why I didn't have a doubt that the Chiefs were going to win the game because I didn't get a chance to see it, but I will. I have it recorded. I will be watching it. That was fun. So,
and then whoever hired Frank Reich.
Oh, yeah. Indianapolis Colts.
The Colts, yeah. Overtime, I get it. It's a 50-yard field goal. 4th and 2, kick the damn field goal. Don't try to win it on a touchdown. Kick the field goal, get off the field, and win.
Right.
So whoever hired him should get fired, in my opinion. Let him stay as the coach.
Were there other bad calls throughout that game?
I don't know. I just saw that.
Because they were really losing. The fact that they came back to tie that game, yes. They were losing the whole way.
They were.
Every time I saw the score, pretty incredible.
So if those three calls go my way, I'm 12-3 this week, 3-0-1 in the challenge game. Instead, here I am at 2-1-1 on the challenge game.
Yeah.
So
I get my first one. That's good. You don't like 9-6.
Congratulations.
I'm not
unhappy. If I'm not mistaken, I took another game. I took another game lead in front of you.
I made 7. But for the second time this season, Lady Edith.
Yes.
Beat both of us. 10-5, Lady Edith was.
Two out of 4 weeks, she has pulled this off. The other week, she's been horrible.
Yeah,
awful. On the aggregate, she's not very good.
But she did increase her percentage on the season from 40% to 46%. She made up 6 points there.
Yeah, she.
So there you go. You're at 56%. Not bad. I am hovering right around 50%, 49.3 or something like that.
The craziness is over. We're getting back into the meat of the season.
We're starting to now kind of know. And that's why we're going to take a look right now at the standings. I'm just going to tell you who the division leaders are in the AFC, the division leaders in the NFC. You're going to tell me whether they stay there or not. Real quickly, we'll go through this. In the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins 3-1.
No.
No, yeah. I mean, they had the opportunity to take that division by the meat, knock the Patriots down to 1-3, and they'd be sitting there at 4-0. They weren't even competitive in that football game.
If there's a team out there that shows an improvement between September and December, it's the Patriots.
Yeah. Didn't even show that they belonged on that field with the Patriots. They're not going to be there at the top. Okay, in the North, we have two teams, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens, both at 3-1. Cincinnati has the tiebreaker right now because they beat Baltimore already. Will they be there at the end?
I think so. I don't know that the Steelers have what it's going to take this year on defense or really anything that resembles a running game to come back. The Browns are going to be exciting.
Yeah.
They've got a good defense. Baker is going to be exciting to watch. I don't know if that translates to, a title.
Right.
So, yeah, I think one of those two teams will be there in the end.
Yeah, I think it'll be Baltimore. I'm still not 100% sold on Cincinnati, although they did get me at the end. I was thinking, I'm like, I'm going to get one on Steve. Atlanta's going to pull this one out. 10 seconds left. They freaking throw a touchdown pass to AJ Green.
Yeah, they can play with anybody. I don't know that they're going to stay ahead of the Ravens.
AFC South, Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars, both 3-1, but Tennessee is leading the division because they got Jacksonville head-to-head.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville still comes back to take this. Tennessee has won. They're 3-1? Tennessee is 3 games. They've won by 3 points each.
But those have been some impressive teams.
They have been.
I'm not even going to say. The team that won the Super Bowl last year.
You almost slipped.
Yeah, I did. I almost slipped. So the Eagles, They beat the Jags. I mean, those two are impressive teams that they beat. Sure,
they are. But the Titans, let's see, 12 of their last 14 games have been decided by one score or less.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's less than one score, but it's
– I mean, they stay in every game.
Right. They're in every game, and so far they've done well. So they could be there, but I still think Jacksonville comes back.
So based on – I'm not going to tell anybody what the pick is, but based on your picks, the Kansas City Chiefs are 4-0. I'm not sure you're on that. Are you sold there yet?
I'm not quite sold there yet.
So do they stay up there at the leading of the division at the end of the season?
I think they do. I mean, I don't think there's anybody else there that's going to really give them a run for their money. They might, you know, might end up 12-4 with a 11-5 team right behind them or something. But I still think they're there at the end.
All right, NFC time now. NFC East. We have the Washington Redskins leading division at 2-1, only because they were on a bye last week, and have only played three games. But then you have the Cowboys and the Eagles at 2-2. Will the Redskins stay on top of the East?
Please don't.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's the Eagles, I think, are the only ones that are going to be able to make a comeback in that division. Sorry to knock your Cowboys, but until I see offense out of them, until I see them use somebody other than Elliott on offense.
Hey, Elliott gave you 208-plus scrimmage yards.
He's not going to be able to do that for the rest of the season, be their leading rusher and passer and receiver.
Why not?
You're going to run him into the ground, and somebody's just going to tackle him and you know, take him out of the game. So
I don't know.
I mean, the Cowboys have the opportunity. They've got the talent there somewhere. Yeah. They just need to find it and put it to good use
not
on the
field.
Not a
wide receiver. Dez now is tweeting about, hey, give me, you know, yeah. I'm willing to go back to Dallas if you want me to. But Jones?
I don't know why we think the Redskins are there right now.
No, they're
– So do I think they'll be there in the end? No, but we were wrong up until now.
Yeah, I don't think the Redskins. The Chicago Bears are 3-1. This is the very
How on earth did this happen? If we didn't think the Redskins were going to be there at the beginning of the year, I can guarantee we didn't think the Bears were going to be there.
I got a name for you, Khalil Mack. He has galvanized that
John
defense.
John Gruden is the name I'm going to give you.
What an idiot! They still need a pass rusher.
They do. He's still asking for a pass rusher in week five now.
But seriously, Khalil Mack has galvanized that defense. That defense really looks. They made Fitzpatrick. I mean, seriously, they took Fitzmagic and turned it into. I don't want to use it because I stole it from somebody else, but it's Fitztragic. Really, he looked awful. He didn't even look like he belonged on the football field.
I was going to ask if we remembered who Ryan Fitzpatrick was at this point.
Does anybody?
We were talking about him for 3 weeks straight about how he's the MVP hands down, and right now who? Fitz who?
Jameis Winston took over at the second half, and that's not good. I don't think the Bears are going to be there, though. I think that Green Bay or Minnesota will eventually win this division. I still think it's one of those two teams.
Yeah, I mean, there are questions all over the place.
Although if Trubisky continues to play the way he did, against Tampa Bay, now it was just the Bucs, and the Bucs defense has been suspect all year. Yep. But man. Six touchdown passes.
If he gets some confidence behind him and starts playing even half that well the rest of the season,
they're going to be tough.
If you can hold – if you can put up 24, 26 points a game, that Bears defense is going to keep most opponents below that, and they could easily stay there. I hope they don't, but
– Yeah, well,
you know. For much the same reasons, I don't
after
want the Redskins –
After this weekend and after what the Packers did to the Bills and after how the Cowboys did, I feel a lot better in our long-term picks. Let's just put it that way.
All right. I'm glad you have confidence in my team because I don't.
After week three, I was struggling.
Yes.
All right. The NFC South sees the New Orleans Saints leading there at 3-1.
I don't see a reason to not say that they're going to be there in the end. I mean, there's definitely competition there, but
here's
the Falcons are falling too far behind.
This week, they beat down the Giants,
and
Drew Brees was awful. So when you can beat down a football team – and your quarterback doesn't have his best day?
Yeah,
that's pretty dangerous football team.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for somebody to overtake the Saints. So I think they're there in the end.
And finally, I think this is the team we can agree that will be there, and there's no one going to overtake them in the NFC West. You have the 4-0 Rams.
Rams, yeah.
They look like right now they could steamroll anybody.
Yep, agreed.
I would say you put an all-star team together and you take them out to go play the Rams, and they're probably going to beat the all-star team. All right, there you go. That's it.
So fun little stats. I see you've got one here about offense. I've got something similar on offense. But before we get to that,
yes,
on the last drive of the Chiefs, the game-winning game.
We're still on the
Chiefs. Still on the Chiefs, but this is I'm over my protest.
Oh, okay, all right, good. No more protest.
Did you catch the stat? It was a 60-yard. It was a 60-yard drive.
Mahomes, the Chiefs one?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was a 60-yard drive to take the go-ahead touchdown. Mahomes had 72 passing yards in that drive.
72. So they went back a couple of penalties.
Just one of those fun stats. 60-yard drive. He had more passing yards than the scoring drive was.
Well, mine is the league as a whole. Talk about becoming a quarterback-driven league. The league as a whole, through the first 4 weeks of the NFL season in the Super Bowl era, the most touchdown passes have been thrown and just shattered the record. The record was made last year. It was made in 2013, where there were 205 touchdown passes thrown through the first 4 weeks of the season. Counting the Chiefs game last night, 228 passing touchdowns. 228 passes. I mean, if you don't understand that you need to have a quarterback who could throw the football in this league, then you're not following the league today.
Yep.
I mean, it's all about touchdown passes.
So in the last, 5 years, so this will be the fifth year. So
yes.
Four previous seasons have averaged 10 400-yard passing games all season long. So far, and that season is, 256 games?
Six games,
like that.
Correct.
Through 62 games, we've had 12 this year.
Whoa, go back. 12 400-yard passers through 4 weeks?
Through 4 weeks, whereas the average for the four previous seasons was 10 all season.
All season long.
So if you don't think that roughing the passer calls or anything else has swung this heavily towards an offensive production, between these two stats, that pretty much confirms
it. And I would
it.
Just like to point this out to you, that a quarter of those were by Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
All right. You know what time it's? Since you've been on the show, we haven't had to do this, but let's do it now.
Just a good old boy.
Never
meaning no harm.
You know the man meant no harm.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Oh, the league finally came down and suspended Michael Kendricks, the linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks, who was with Cleveland and then went to Seattle. He's been playing with the Seattle Seahawks, but he's suspended indefinitely due to his guilty plea on insider trading charges. Now, here's basically the deal. The insider trading is that he allegedly profited about $1.2 million from July 2014 to March 2015 using material that was non-public information from Sonoki, a banker at a global investment firm. In exchange, he gave Sonoki $10,000 and Eagles tickets and used that information to make about $1.2 million. And so now, you know, he pled guilty on the charge. There's going to be some legal ramifications, some fines that he has to pay. But the league has come down and put the kibosh on him, even though Pete Carroll, you know, spoke to Goodell and said some nice things about Michael Kendrick, said Kendrick was doing the right things. But Goodell doesn't care. And the hammer came down. And the thing that it's not, you're suspended two games, you're suspended four games, suspended indefinitely. We don't know if he can ever come back and play in the league.
So my only comment here is that's a pretty small commission that this investor got for making
$10,000. Can I get his name?
That's less than 1% commission. Can I have his name? I'd love to give less than
1%
commission. Maybe not illegal, but
No, I want to do it legally, but you know, if you only take 1% commission, I want to sign with you.
Unless we're just completely devaluing Eagles tickets, but I don't think they're. I think the $10,000 was probably the better.
That was the better part. Yeah,
have to be a lot of Eagles tickets.
Maybe last year Eagles tickets. You know,
a Super Bowl ticket, maybe, but
yeah, but even a Super Bowl ticket's only like $2,000.
Well, two or three of those, and it changed the game.
That's
so
true,
anyway,
that's true. Okay,
all right, moving
but
on.
But I just feel, I feel bad because look, it's not like he's denied the charges. It's not like he said, look, he's trying to hide it or anything. He's been working. He's been cooperating. He's been, you know, opening his books. He's doing everything. I just don't know why the league feels like it's insider trading, dude. It's not like he didn't kill anybody. Aaron Hernandez. He's not doing drugs all the time. Josh Gordon. He's not, you know, outside of Hernandez, who of course went to jail and then killed himself. But there's some guys that have done some worse things
yes.
that are playing in the league right now.
Yeah, and he came out and he right away said, I made some grievous errors yeah. in judgment. I regret them. What do I need to do to make this better? He didn't plead innocence. He yeah. didn't hide behind lawyers and PR firms. He went in and said, I screwed up. So hopefully this is a knee jerk. Hopefully they lift this at
yeah,
some point.
It's,
but,
yeah. And I don't want to give Goodell, you know, some grief because, you know, ultimately Goodell passes everything. But what I'm being told is that Kendricks appealed to the league and that Goodell recused himself. He did not hear the appeal. He passed it on to whoever the designee was to hear appeals besides Goodell. And even though it was somebody else, it wasn't Goodell, it's still the appeal did not, you know, it was upheld. Yeah. But I just think indefinitely, I said, suspend him a couple games. It's not like he was, you know, doing yeah. something violent. It's insider trading. I know it's bad.
So what was the – he pleaded guilty.
Yes.
If I missed this, what was the – what's the – punishment doled out by the SEC?
Well, that's still coming.
Pending. Okay.
That's still pending.
Look, if he spends time in jail, like if they put him in jail for things like that.
I don't think he's going to spend
even then,
jail time.
Then maybe I could see the NFL being a little bit harsh.
Right.
But if it's a, you know, pay back some money,
a
slap on the wrist, some yeah. probation, you know, don't go near E-Trade anytime in the next
yeah.
5 years. I don't see why. This seems a little harsh.
No E-Trade. Well, we'll see what happens. But, feel sorry for the guy. All right, and finally, just something that we want to talk about briefly because we got 15 games to get to. Earl Thomas.
The one-finger salute.
Yes, yes. I called it the bird heard around the world.
Yes.
Obviously, he injured his leg pretty egregiously. And as he's being carted off the field, he decided to flip the bird at the Seahawks sideline. I can only assume.
We assume, yes. We haven't heard his side of the story.
Yes.
It could have been to someone else.
It looked like it was the Eagles side because he yeah. was being carted off on the Cardinals side of the
yeah.
And Patrick Peterson came up and gave him a hug and a handshake.
Yep.
And, a lot of players on the Cardinals sideline were kind of giving him, you know, like a, you know, get better, all that stuff. And he's looking at, now I don't know, maybe it was the official on the field. I
don't know why it would have been.
But I think it was at the field. And I personally think it was to Pete Carroll.
Yes. Yeah.
Saying, look, you forced my hand. I came in. And now this is what's happened to me. And now.
Right. Now, the next time we see him on the field, he'll be 30 years old.
Yep. Playing for another football team.
Playing for a different football team.
And
coming off a broken leg.
Probably not getting the dollars that he would
nowhere
have
gotten. Nowhere near. Yeah.
Had he signed
somewhere. He's likely going to have to come back and do a 1 year to prove himself.
So for everybody who's talking bad about Le'Veon Bell,
yeah.
I just point you to this situation.
Yeah.
This is what Le'Veon Bell's like. Look, there is a finite amount of time that these players can make the money, the big money. If you're the superstar that like Le'Veon Bell is, there's a finite amount of time where you can get that big giant $60 million guaranteed contract. Because as some of the Seahawks that came to the defense of Earl will tell you, look at Gruden. He got $100 million, and that is guaranteed. Gruden could suck for 10 years, and the Raiders can go nowhere for 10 years, and he's getting $10 million a year, guaranteed. Players don't get that.
Yep.
You get, you know, even Khalil Mack, his contract was for $92 million, but only 63 of that is guaranteed, and then there's no guarantees after that. So – I understand it's partially the player's fault
yeah.
because it's the CBA that they agreed to and that they signed to. But something has to be done because yeah, the owners can't be like and owners and coaches can't be like, yeah, you know, you are under contract. You need to come play for what you're playing. I'm sorry.
And I know we don't bring politics into this show. This isn't meant to bring politics into
right,
the show, but
right.
this is a phrase we don't hear enough. I can see both sides of this argument. And I can understand both sides of this argument.
Yeah. I after this, I'm starting to see less of the side of the owners and teams.
Well, but I still see that side.
I see it. It's not like I don't see it.
I'm not stating an opinion on which side I agree or which side I'm on, but I can see both sides of the argument.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
They both make sense. Both sides have a valid reason for the position they've taken.
Doing what they're doing.
You can agree with one side and disagree with the other, but it's a reasonable thing that what Le'Veon is doing, what what we saw out of Earl Thomas wanting, even though he came back and played properly. So
yeah, I would. You know, the weird thing is that I think there's more players on Earl's side, and he's like, yeah, flip him off. It's, you know, it's
yeah.
You're not. He's never playing for Seattle again. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, he'll never have a Seahawks.
He's they're saying that he might be available for the Super Bowl if the Seahawks were to get there, but come on. He's not playing for the Seahawks ever again. All right, we're going to move on. We did a little bit better there. Only 25 minutes.
We got through that in 10 minutes less than we did last week.
So let's get to a rave by our very own Steve. Steve, take it away.
Oh, I was all ready to get right into the games. I forgot I had a rave here. So this is a real quick one, and trust me, it's not one of my passive-aggressive, sarcastic raves. This is a legitimate rave.
A real one.
A real one.
All right, a real rave.
So we talked a couple weeks ago about some of the players are doing with their money, with their time, the resources and the opportunities that they have at their disposal that many others don't. So for the second year in a row, here's Chris Long, defensive end of the Eagles, being a really good guy. Last year, he donated, I think, his entire salary to charity.
Wow.
This year, he is donating, far less, but he's donating a quarter of his salary, which is about $400,000, to a Boys and Girls Literacy, Boys and Girls Club of Philadelphia Literacy Program.
Okay.
With the goal of putting 25,000 books and reading centers in needy Philadelphia communities. So, again, good job. Some of these guys taking some of the resources they've been given, the opportunities they have, and doing things good in the community with them.
That's
two Eagles that I've talked about.
Yeah, I'm actually, as, you know, kind of creator of the show, going to say that that's it. No more Eagles that you can kind of like rave?
That's fair enough. Yep.
No, I'm just kidding. No, that is fantastic. I mean,
I'm pretty sure that's all the Eagles that do good things. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea.
Look, but on a serious note, $400,000 for a literature program in a community like that brings in a lot of stuff.
Think about how much time it would take you and I to fundraise that around the community here.
Correctly. Yeah, that's a long time.
And we'd get commitments for all of that, and then we'd probably collect about two-thirds of it something.
Yeah. So, no, good on Chris Long and, you know, this Long and the Long family. They do great stuff all over the place, but that is certainly worthy of a rave here on NFL Rants and Raves. I'm staying out of the rant and rave department mostly because, I'll just be honest, I was out having way too much fun with my family this weekend. I didn't get a chance to prepare. But so I'm not going to give you a...
Mickey Mouse is preventing you
exactly.
from making a
I'm not going to give you a Mickey Mouse type rant or rave. Right?
Well done.
When I give it to you, I want to give a good one, so I'm not that prepared. Let's just get to the games because there's so many of them. And we'll start with El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana. All right, the giant... stupendous game of the week is in Kansas City, where the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs at 4-0 host the Jacksonville Jaguars, who bring in their 3-1 record. Do you like that I gave you the records in the
Yes, you did.
Yeah, that's kind of helpful for me, at least, anyways.
You're helping me with that 4-0 with the Chiefs, because, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, is that kind of, you got a little cross stuck up in there? You get, I've got a cross stuck up in whatever.
I don't know what it is about the Chiefs. It's not. I don't necessarily have anything against anybody there. There's not
Andy
a player.
Reed? Andy Reid?
Andy Reid, isn't he off the Holmgren coaching tree?
Yep.
I mean, he's so, old Packers.
Right.
No, there's no ill will there.
Patrick
Mahomes,
you don't like his hair? He's too sexy.
Yes, that's what it is. I'm jealous of his sexiness and his football ability because I was always close to being that good. Never mind, I can't throw a spiral, let alone play the game.
So I mean,
I can't explain it. I don't
Watkins,
know why.
Watkins, Hill,
yeah,
no one. Travis Kelce. You don't like Kelce and his whole attitude.
So sure, we'll go. Keep coming up with reasons because I don't have one.
All right, well, I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs. I am now sold on this team. You know, they have made a believer out of me. They've been one of my locks, which hit. They gave me my first challenge game win, even though apparently they were down and they came back to win the game, you know, even though there were some clock mechanics. How could there be clock mechanics? They were the road team. They were in Denver. Blame the freaking clock people in Denver. I don't know. I like this team. And you know what? I believe this team stays hot early. Now, maybe later in the season, they start to have, you know, some problems once people get film on Mahomes and they start kind of studying Mahomes a little bit more. But right now, that guy, he has made some passes. Did you see the left-handed pass?
Yes.
I saw that on ESPN where he's running and he kind of throws it to the left and he still hits it. Wasn't that like on fourth down?
Yeah.
That was on fourth down.
It was insane, yeah. That was Brett Favre-ish in his prime.
Yeah, to have the cojones on fourth down to say, I've got the skill to transfer the ball to my left hand and flick it 10 yards and complete the pass. That's some courage and some charisma. I like the Chiefs. I think they're going to win this game. I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to have enough offense to go into Kansas City, into Arrowhead, into the hostilities and win the game. I got KC.
All right. So I have, again, nothing against Kansas City here. Mahomes has been phenomenal, but that Chiefs defense has a lot of question marks against it.
Suspect.
So as good as Mahomes has been, as much as he's put up, the Chiefs are only winning by an average of a touchdown.
Yeah.
And the defenses that they've gone up against so far are the Chargers, 49ers, Steelers, and Denver. So when you look at points given up, those defenses, in that order, 28th in the league, 27th in the league, 26th in the league, and Denver was the best one at 17th.
Okay.
The Jags are number two.
Yes, but the Jags haven't really played anyone of substance.
Right.
Yes.
So and some of those other defenses might have their stats skewed because they've already played the Chiefs and
got
60 points put up on them or something. So
yes.
So I get all that.
Yes.
But point being, Jags are a better defense than the Chiefs have seen all year.
Man, the Jags lost 9-6 to the Tennessee Titans. I see of Bortles and the Jags, that you had a home game against the Tennessee Titans and you couldn't muster more than 6 points. That is my problem.
The Vikings put up 6 and then came back and were stayed toe-to-toe with the Rams at the Coliseum here. So any given Sunday,
yes,
you can lay an egg, right?
The any given Sunday thing. I just think that the Jags, for as good as their defense is, Blake Bortles, I'm afraid that at any day, goes on the road, it's a hostile environment, and they put up 6 points. I'm not saying they're going to put up 6 points against the Chiefs because that Chiefs defense does have some
holes. That's the challenge. Is Bortles against a good defense is a suspect quarterback.
Right.
But the last thing you would say the Chiefs defense is good or even average.
I just think I'm looking – okay, we just said what? 228 touchdown passes in the first 4 weeks of this league. This league is all about throwing the rock and going downfield. Mahomes and the Chiefs are showing they can do that. Bortles and the Jags just don't.
They haven't shown it yet.
On the offensive side, as far as their wide receivers, there's no one really sexy. No one really doing anything fantastic. You know, Leonard Fournette, he played a little bit this week, and then he got hurt again, out with the hamstring. So we got to rely on TJ Yeldon. I'm not sure what the Jags still got on offense, and this could be another week where, okay, we're going to start TJ Yeldon. The Chiefs say, hey, let's put it on Bortles' back, and maybe
and
they
he doesn't
blown.
Do it. Yeah.
So I
mean, either way, I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be. I personally think it's going to be a high scoring game, but it's going to be close. It's going to be another Chiefs Denver game.
Yeah.
Where it's coming down to the last couple plays.
Okay.
Because I mean that Chiefs game, that Monday Night Football game last night, could have gone either way very easily.
Right. Lady Edith agrees with you. She's got the Jaguars as well.
She does like her cats.
She does. She's really picking the cats a lot. I see that she's being consistent with the Packers and Cowboys, so that's very interesting. But that leaves me alone on an island. And, you know, it's going to be interesting from here on out.
Yes.
Let's just say that. All right, moving on to games of the week. We start in New England, where the 2-2 Patriots host the 1-3 Indianapolis Colts. All right, now, here's the interesting one. Because whenever I see something like this, and it's a game of the week, and, you know, one of the teams is 1-3, and I inevitably hear someone saying, why is that a game of the week, Steven?
I don't know why a 1-3 team warrants a game of the week status. But this is Colts Patriots, man. It goes back.
There's some pretty raw recent history here, too.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's the crazy thing. Do you know that Andrew Luck is 0-5 against the Patriots?
No.
He's 0-5 against the Patriots. But, the Colts are one. I don't know. It's like they play up or down to the level of their competition. You know what I mean? I don't know why they're like that, but, they're going to get up for this game. They're going to be ready for this game.
They will be, yep.
The Patriots obviously showed, the rumors of their demise was, far-fetched. They put a whooping on the Dolphins, which my bad on that, on changing that pick. When you take Miami against New England, it's in Miami. The Patriots go down to Miami, and they struggle down there, and Miami has won some of those games. Miami never plays well in New England, man. That was crazy. I don't even know what I was thinking.
I don't know. You talked yourself into it.
I did, and you didn't even try and stop me, man. You just said, go for it. Take the Dolphins.
I had a gut pick taking the Broncos last
week. We're both 9-9. Yeah.
I had a gut pick taking the Broncos. How many other people took the Broncos with me? I mean, I was kind of on my own there.
Yeah, I didn't talk you out of it.
And mine was a better gut pick because I was at least close to winning this thing. Dolphins weren't even in the game.
It wasn't even close. I got the Patriots in this one. I think the Patriots found their winning ways again. Plus, they get Brady's security blanket back, man. Julian Edelman comes back. They're going to be ready to start partying in New England again. And I don't think Andrew Luck will have enough offense.
And I don't think the Patriots lay eggs on national TV. So I think I'm with you, the Patriots.
Plus, it's a hey.
Might be a close one.
Thursday
Colts are going to stay in there. But.
It really is. As much as the NFL can say that it isn't, and you're the numbers guy, so I want you to do it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a homework assignment.
Oh, boy.
Homework assignment for Steve. I want you, and not to, you don't have to do it right now, but maybe for the next show, you could come back with the numbers. I want to know the percentage of wins the home teams have on Thursday night football. Because I think it is skewed. I mean, it's not even close. I think it's like 80, 85%. Now, I'm just throwing out crazy numbers because that's what it seems like to me. But I think it's outrageous. Since the inception of Thursday night football, where they started playing Thursday night football games every Thursday, I think it's something really crazy, like 80% of the time the home team wins. So that's your assignment, is to go and find that percentage of the time the home team wins on Thursday night football. That's why I take the Patriots. Look, I don't want to take the Patriots, but I have to because the Colts are going to struggle going on the road, short week. You've got the Patriots, but this makes me nervous, okay, because Lady Edith, who was 10-5 last week, has got the Colts, and she nailed a couple of those where she was all by – she took the Titans over the Eagles all by herself, and she nailed it. She took Oakland over Cleveland. She got the overtime win. Now, granted, she got some help from the refs.
Yep.
But, she's got the Colts, man. You and I are alone on the Patriots.
I'm still comfortable in my pick.
Yeah. No, I'm good. Thursday night. So, moving on, early game on Sunday, the Cleveland Browns hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Who you got there?
So, Baker, in his start, did manage to put up 42 points against the Raiders.
Yes.
But he turned the ball over 4 times.
That doesn't help.
And we got Jimmy Smith back at corner after a suspension, so he's back. Ravens have 5 straight against the Browns. They've kind of had their number. Now, we haven't really had a Browns team that was going to face up.
Was competitive.
Ravens. So as I alluded to earlier in the show, I think the Browns are going to continue to be entertaining. Their defense is going to be strong. But I still think the Ravens pull this one out.
Yeah, but the Ravens just boat race Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. I mean, talk about smash mouth. They got after Roethlisberger, got out to an early lead and never looked back. And even though the Steelers came back and tied that game, Baltimore picked it up to another notch. And I've never seen Roethlisberger so confused. If they make Roethlisberger confused, what are they going to do to Baker Mayfield?
Right.
Yeah,
that's where I just think there's too much talent, there's too much experience on the Ravens' D, they're going to get after him.
I think from now on I need to talk to Edith before I make my picks, because she's got the Browns. What does she know that I don't?
Yeah, And she was adamant about this one. She never she never even considered the Ravens on this one.
Wow.
She went right after the Browns. And
all
that's,
right. Baltimore at 3-1. The Browns at 1-2-1. You and I have Baltimore. Yeah, sorry, Lady Edith. I think you're wrong on this one. As much as I would like to plead Cleveland, I just can't do it. Not in this game. They're divisional rivals. They know each other well. And Flacco, for all intents and purposes, forget about this whole, you know, oh, Flacco's angry that they, you know, drafted Lamar Jackson. Flacco's playing great football right now. So, and one thing the Ravens aren't doing, turning over the football.
Right. Yep.
They're getting turnovers and not turning
over. If Mayfield fixes the turnovers,
we'll have a game. Yeah.
We could have a very good game. But if he's going to turn it over that much, Ravens are just too good at capitalizing on those turnovers.
All right. We'll move on to Houston, where the Battle of Texas faces off the Houston Texans and the Dallas Cowboys. Who you got, Steve?
Well, this one's a challenge one. They both got wins last week.
Yeah.
I can't really say either team looked good in their wins last week.
Okay.
I mean, the Cowboys found their offense on the shoulders of a single individual.
Yeah, you didn't like that. You don't like that at all. You don't like it when it's one guy.
I don't have a problem with it being one guy. I just don't think it's sustainable.
Why not?
Because defenses will shift and they'll figure out how to take him out of the game, out of most plays, and there goes your one weapon. And since the Cowboys don't have an abundance of other weapons to use.
You don't think Detroit was trying to stop Ezekiel Elliott? You don't think they were putting men in the box to stop? I mean, he just got it done regardless.
But even when he released off and took some major down, I mean, he took some deep passes too.
Yeah, that pass at the end of the game.
Yeah, so
they split him out wide. They split him out as a receiver.
But that was the beauty. It wasn't just running between the tackles.
That was the beauty of what the Cowboys did on that play.
Yes.
They split him out as a wide receiver. And Dak, I'm going to give him credit, saw that a linebacker went out to guard him. And you're like, are you kidding me right now? Where do you think I am going with the football?
Right.
I'm going to throw it to Zeke, who is going to get past this linebacker and catch the ball. It was a perfectly thrown pass, very well executed. But I'll tell you something that's happening with the Dallas Cowboys right now. That offensive line is starting to gel. Remember, it's a makeshift line. There's pieces. But you got Looney there in the middle, and he's starting to gel. There were some big running holes. I'm talking about could have run through the big, gigantic running holes they were making for Zeke. If they keep blocking like that and making holes for him to run, Zeke's going to tear people up. And I'm okay with giving Zeke. Zeke is a give him 30, 35 touches.
As long as they can keep him doing what he's doing and can get wins, they should. I'm not saying the Cowboys should stop doing that and should shift their game
plan. Feed him.
I just don't think it's a sustainable strategy to winning the game.
I don't know. Feed him. I'm just
feed him as long as he's going to do it.
You know,
that was the Fitzpatrick comments that we've been making.
Where he's eating the cereal, yeah. He's just putting it in. That's what I'm looking at. Right. Feed him.
Yep.
Feed him.
We were talking Fitzpatrick the last couple of weeks. You don't take the ball out of the guy's hands until suddenly he proves he can't do it. Same thing here.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys can win behind Ezekiel and getting what he's doing, what he did this last week, do it. Do it frequently.
Steven
do it often.
Jones,
keep
get
going.
On the phone. Get.
The Texans have lost to the Patriots and the Titans, which are excusable losses.
Get Dez Bryant on the phone. That's all I'm saying.
They lost to the Giants, which they probably should have won, and then they beat the Colts. Cowboys lost to the Panthers in Seattle, which excusable.
The Panthers won. Yeah, they should have beat Seattle. They had no business.
And then they took care of business against the Giants and Lions. So,
which everybody's taking care of business against the Giants right now. And you know who's starting to rumble? You know what's going to happen. You know, once he got that money, it's all about like, look, hey, I got paid, so I can start talking smack now.
Yep.
That's Odell Beckham Jr. I feel that there's going to be an implosion there, and that just keep watching the Giants because it is coming.
It is on its way.
It is going. I mean,
the over under is what, week 8?
I'm saying 7. Week
all
7.
Right. Week 7 is our over under.
Because there was already the press conference at the locker room was like, hey. I think his exact words, it should not be this hard. Okay. Well.
All right. So you and I both have the Cowboys.
Lady Edith, for the fifth, I think she's with me.
She has.
She's going to be taking Dallas. Because you've gone against Dallas.
I have gone against Dallas, yes.
She is not. Neither have I. I think she's on track right now. I think she's going to get this one. As much as, look, Houston doesn't really scare me all that much. D-Hop got hurt. We don't know how he's going to be for this football game. The fact that it's in Houston scares me a little bit, but I think that the Cowboys will be able to do enough offensively to get the win here.
We'll I think the defense, I think the, I agree, Cowboys have gelled a little bit more than the Texans have.
Yeah, and the other thing that was positive, there were some holes in the secondary because, you know, Golden Tate should not have been as open as he was. I think the Cowboys will fix that. What I am very happy to see is that Sean Lee wasn't there, and they were able to – they gave one big run out to Kerryon Johnson, but after that, they buckled down. They stopped that run game. And if they can stop the run game of Houston, which has been their weakest aspect of their offense, they'll be great. Van Esch, the guy who's come in to replace Sean Lee, played lights out. That's very good for a rookie. I think their defense is getting better. And I think if the offense – I'm going to say give me 28 points. The Cowboys score 27, 28 points. They're going to win the football game because I don't think many people are going to score more than that.
Yep.
All right, moving on to New Orleans, the Big Easy, as the New Orleans Saints host the Washington Redskins. Now, the Redskins are coming off a bye, and that's pretty good for them, but historically, I don't think bye weeks have really helped the Redskins all that much, especially one this early. That's crazy. Having week four and you get a bye, you'd be like, yeah. I just got into it. Can we change it to week 14 where, you know, my team's busted up and they could use
could
next
use a
week?
Break, yeah.
So the Redskins are back. They'll be a little fresh, but it's the Saints. It's in New Orleans. Like I said, Drew Brees didn't have his great game, but they still won by, I mean, they didn't, the Giants weren't even close, 33-18. And that's when Drew Brees, who had an average game. I don't think that happens at home. The Saints aren't home. And when they're inside that dome, they just play great football. I like the Saints to take care of the Redskins.
Yep, I'm in agreement. The Saints, I think the Saints so far have been everything we expected them to be.
Yep.
Don't see any reason not to go with them right now.
I think they'll be there in the end. Lady Edith also has checked off the New Orleans.
I believe that might be 5 weeks in a row for the Fleur-de-Lis as well.
She's really liking the Fleur-de-Lis. Great colors, nice little flower kind of thing. Yeah, I see it. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, just lost. Ouch, it's got to hurt. They're 2-2, and they are hosting the Minnesota Vikings at 1-2-1. Did anybody look at when the schedule came out? Did anybody think the Eagles were going to be 2-2 after 4 weeks?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But the Eagles are struggling. They're struggling. The fact that they had to come back to tie that game to go force it to overtime. They were losing. They get it in overtime. They get the first shot. They march down the field, and they kick a field goal. And you think, it's game over because the Titans aren't going to match it. They're not going to be able to get down and score a field goal. They do one better. They go down, march down the field on the Eagles' defense, score a touchdown to get the win in overtime. I mean, now you got questions with Carson Wentz in the offense, but now you got to start questioning the Eagles' defense.
Defense, yep.
So in comes Minnesota, and – you know, Kirk Cousins showed, hey, I'm going to stand there toe-to-toe with Jared Goff in that high-powered offense, Rams offense. They looked pretty good. Unfortunately, they had to get the W, the loss, didn't get the W. They're sitting at 1-2-1, and they know they need to win this football game. We cannot leave Philly after having 10 days off to rest and get ready for this football game. We can't leave Philly with a 1-3-1 record. They know that. And that's why I'm taking Minnesota. I think that Zimmer is going to have this team ready to go into the Philly game, take it from the Eagles, and they will come out 2-2-1 in the division.
So the Phillies' defense has been very good against the run, but that secondary hasn't been able to stop anything.
Struggle against the pass.
The Vikings, if I'm not mistaken, the stat I saw earlier today on the season, have 62 rushing yards all season. So the Vikings live in the air.
Yeah.
So I think it's a perfect matchup. I think the Vikings Diggs, coming off of 10 Rudolph. Days, they keep – I mean, they could lay an egg like they did.
Right.
But I think – I agree with you. They're coming off 10 days. They know they've got to win it. I mean, the Eagles want to win this. They need to win this as well.
Yeah, they do.
But I think the Vikings have a little bit more they're playing for, seeing that the Bears continue to win. I think the Vikings – pass all over that Philly secondary, and it's they run them out of the stadium almost.
I think that's what you're going to see as well, because the emergence of Aldrick Robinson in that Thursday night football game, he had like 140 yards and two touchdowns against the Rams. So now you've got him that you're adding to Kyle Rudolph, the tight end, Stephon Diggs, and Adam Thielen, who I think there were 200-yard receivers in that game for Minnesota. Now who are you going to cover? You can't cover all of them.
Yep.
And if the Vikings can get Dalvin Cook going, they're going to be pretty tough. I think in this one, it's going to be about the passing game, and I'm going to say Kirk Cousins gets it done against Philly. Because, look, he was a Redskin. He had to play them twice a year. He knows the Eagles
knows
pretty
them,
well. You and I have the Vikings. Lady Edith, though, is going and sticking with the Eagles. All right. Finally, the last game of the week, the Miami Dolphins at 3-1 travel to Cincinnati to face the 3-1 Bengals. What do you got, Steve?
So Tannehill didn't look so good last week. Part of it is the question, how much of that was the Pats coming to play, coming to make a point, and how much of it was Tannehill just falling off. I tend to think that Tannehill is probably, this is maybe the new norm. Serviceable as a quarterback, but he's not gonna really play too well.
Right.
Neither team has looked terribly good, but the Bengals have played some really tough games to get to their 3-1.
Sorry about that. You know, someone's trying to take our feed over.
Man,
thank you, NFL.com. All right, go ahead.
So the Bengals they've played some pretty tough offenses. They're still coming out of this 3-1, and they're at home.
Okay, so I have not been feeling the Bengals all year. I've lost 3 out of the 4 Bengals picks. I can't do it anymore. I got to take Cincinnati. For some crazy reason with my gut, I trusted the Dolphins last week, and they let me down miserably. 38-7 beat down. On the road again. Cincinnati, something about that. Okay, so I'm winning that game, and there's like a minute left, and I see them driving, and I'm like, come on, Atlanta. All you got to do is make one play. Make one play, and let me be a winner. Just one time to show me that Andy Dalton doesn't have what it takes to come back from this game. And I see him throw. He let the ball go. I didn't even see who was in the back of the end zone. And he let the ball go, and I said, this is a touchdown. And sure enough, A.J. Green dives down, catches the ball low. Andy Dalton put that ball in between two defenders where only A.J. Green could catch the ball. Like
it was beautiful.
It was not beautiful. I threw stuff. Might have hurt one of my TVs. Anyways, I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals here because I can't have Andy Dalton ruin my weekend every week. I think they're going to get it done this time.
Yep, I'm in agreement. And Lady Edith is going with the Dolphins.
What is her deal? She's like, does not agree with us at all today.
No, she's...
She is all on her own. All right, let's move on.
She better not be right.
Let's move on to games of importance. All right, we got the 1-3 Falcons at the 1-2-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. Why is this game so important? Because the loser of this game, kiss your playoff season goodbye. You're not coming back. You go to 1-4 or 1-3-1, kiss your playoff season goodbye. You are not going to recover. You know, even though the Steelers, now they're getting some indications that Le'Veon Bell might be back after week 7, which is their bye week. It'll be too late at that point. It'll be too late. Connor, I keep saying this every week, is being serviceable. He didn't look all that good last week against the Ravens. And they're just not getting it done. There is... Part of the reason why the Steelers offense was so successful is you had to watch out for Le'Veon Bell either coming out of the backfield or running the football. And now that you don't have to do that, you could take away Antonio Brown. You could take away Juju Smith-Schuster and force Roethlisberger to throw the ball down, check it down to his tight ends and stuff. They're not going to get it done. Now, I am taking Pittsburgh in this game solely for the fact that the Atlanta Falcons defense is awful. They are putrid. And it's not their fault. They've riddled with injuries.
Yep.
All throughout that defense, especially in the secondary. They're not going to have an answer for A.B. and Juju Smith-Schuster and Vance McDonald. I think Ben Roethlisberger throws all over the yard, especially at home. I got Pittsburgh.
I'm in agreement. I think if this game is in Atlanta, I think the Falcons probably pull this out in a high scoring game.
In a dome, turf, but, yeah.
But in Pittsburgh, I think Big Ben's enough, and they pull this out.
All right, Lady Edith finally agrees with us. Whew, after five games, she also has the Pittsburgh Steelers. Moving on to Green Bay, actually to Detroit, where the Lions host the Green Bay Packers.
Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy!
Oh, what does he gotta say? Don't the Packers always hate playing the Lions because they play them tough?
They do. It's one of those where the Bears are obviously the Packers' rivalry. The Vikings have been competitive with the Packers lately. The Lions have just been there lately.
Yeah.
So they're, as Packer fans, we don't view the Lions as being as much of a challenge as the other two. But, of course, the Lions don't see it that way.
The Lions get up to play the Packers
every year. So it's going to be – I think, what, the line is only 1.5?
Yeah, I almost made that my lock of the week, but the last time I did that, Aaron Rodgers kind of laid a stink bomb.
Yeah.
So I didn't make it my lock of the week. But
so this week we're hearing a lot about the Packers defense is finally here. This vaulted Packers defense that we all know is there is finally back. They goose egg the Bills.
But pitch the shutout. When you pitch the shutout, people start talking about you.
They do. But it was the Bills.
It was the Buffalo Bills.
If it was pretty much any other team, I might feel a little bit more confident that something is gelling. If they do it again, maybe not a shutout, but if they hold teams to, you know, six or something like that,
yeah.
All right, maybe I'll start to agree, but I've got to see more out of that Packers defense before I think they're finally here.
My question is this: how do you go from 41 points and boat racing the Minnesota Vikings to laying a big fat zero goose egg?
No idea. I mean, clearly, I have no explanation there.
I don't have it either. Don't know what happened to the Bills last week. That was pretty crazy. But
we're in our traditional week 4, week 5 Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy spat over play calling on the Packers.
Yeah.
So we're used to this. Same pattern. Rodgers makes some sort of a not so veiled comment in the after game press conference. McCarthy says, "I don't know if I heard him or whatever. I don't care." And you know, suddenly 3 weeks from now, everybody's singing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
So I, you know,
relax.
Exactly. We're seeing that storyline come out too. I think it's a bunch of bupkis. It is what it is. We'll get past it.
Well, the Lions at 1-3. The only thing I have about the Lions is that one win was against the New England Patriots, and it was a straight on beatdown of the Patriots. So I don't know what to think, but I've got the Packers.
The Lions have been in the last three games they've played.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat the Patriots, but the other two games they were in the game.
Yes.
They didn't get completely
killed
in the other games. So
so
they're not that bad. I think the line is probably right where it's a slight lead into the Packers at 1.5.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Well, you know, the Packers are. Yeah, it's one now. The Packers are on the road, so that has something to do with it. That's why it's only -1. But, yeah, I got the Packers. You got the Packers. Lady Edith, I'm pretty sure, is going to have the Packers every week. Very curious. Just for my amusement. Just show her Packers Cowboys. I don't know what she does.
that request has been made by my other children.
Oh, really?
To see what she would do, and I refuse to do it. So
you're not gonna
we will at some point.
Yeah, that's later on in the season. How about that?
Because
maybe when the season is over.
So last night when we were doing the picks, she had her onesie on that it's a football onesie with a Packers logo on it.
Okay.
So even after we got past the Packers game and we were picking other games, she kept pointing to her shirt, saying "Packers, Packers." I mean, she apparently was very happy to pick the Packers.
That's
going to
break my heart because I think she's going to pick the Cowboys all year long. But let's just say the Cowboys and the Packers do meet in the playoffs, and you show her those two logos. I know where she's going. I know where her bread is buttered. We all got the Packers. Moving on to the final game of importance, the Los Angeles Rams travel to Seattle to face the Seahawks. Man, you know, the Seahawks, they should have just annihilated. And I'm talking about annihilated the Arizona Cardinals. And that
didn't happen. Nope.
That didn't happen. There used to be a time where the Seahawks just, like, toyed with the Rams. So I am looking forward to the Rams toying with Seattle. I think this is going to be bad. This is going to be 35-10, 42.
This is going to be the loudest game of the season in Seattle.
Not after the second quarter.
True.
When they're getting boat
right.
raced.
First quarter.
Yeah.
First quarter. The beginning of the game will be the loudest.
It's
going to
be very loud
be
in the first quarter. But after that, they start getting boat raced.
The Earl Thomas distraction is gone.
Yeah.
But so is his production.
There
so,
you go. Who in the secondary? It just got too many people. I mean, and the fact that Goff is keeping everybody happy. I mean, he's got to throw it to Cooks. He's got to throw it to Woods. He's got to throw it to Kupp. He's got, you know, he even throwing it to Higbee and getting the tight end happy. I mean, and you still got to give Todd Gurley his touches. I mean, and everybody is happy right now. And the fact is, they had 3 100-yard receivers in that game Thursday night. I don't even know. I think it's been like 20 years or something ridiculous like that. So there's been 3 100-yard receivers for the same team in a single game. Who can get mad on that team? No one can get mad. Sue had a sack. Donald had a sack. I mean, it's like everybody who is supposed to be doing something on their team is doing it. I don't know. Well, I mean.
Until we see a flaw in the Rams.
Rams and Lady Edith, she's even bought into the whole golden
horn
thing, Rams. So we all got the Rams. We're going to move on pretty quickly through these next couple games. There's only 2 games of interest. Broncos at Jets. I got the Broncos. And I'm just going to tell you right now, this is my lock of the week. If you get the Denver Broncos right now, the Broncos are 2-point dogs against the New York Jets. Now, I know the Jets are at home, but look, the Denver Broncos right now are a much better team than the New York Jets, and I don't know how the Jets are favored by 2. Nobody in Vegas wants to explain it to me, but this is one where the odd makers are wrong. I guarantee you that if you wait till Sunday, right before this game starts, to bet, the Broncos are going to be favored. So if you can get them right now and jump on the Broncos and get them at +2, get them at +1.5, shoot, get them at a pick 'em. The Broncos are going to win this football game. If you can get points, take them, because that's my lock. The Broncos are going to get them. Now, if they start getting to the positive side, you know, because I think this line is going to swing 4 or 5 points, and I even would take Broncos -1, Broncos -2. At -3, it's a field goal game. I don't feel that comfortable. I think they're going to win by a field goal, but I wouldn't give too many points if you're taking the Broncos. But if you're going to get points, you're going to give me points, take them. That's the lock. I got the Broncos. You got the Broncos. But Lady Edith is – I would feel more comfortable if we were all clean sweeping had the Broncos. She had to take
apparently Lady Edith has some friends in Vegas.
Is that what it is? Got some
only explanation there.
Got some information, and she's taking
there's
the Jets.
There's some matchup here that we're not seeing that the Jets
– yeah, just the Broncos are a lot better than a lot of people thought they were going to be, and they're going to get after Sam Darnold. That's one thing that I know that Denver's going to get after Sam Darnold. They're gonna keep him off balance, and Denver was going to take care of business. Take the 2 points if you can get them. Broncos win. All right, the final game of interest, the Oakland Raiders travel to Los Angeles to face the Chargers. Huh? I said Los Angeles.
You got it right.
There you go.
I'm proud of you.
I think I'm rolling on this. Who you got here?
Took week 5, but you got there.
Took week 5.
So, Chargers have beaten teams they should. They beat the Bills. They beat the 49ers. They lost to 2 unbeaten teams in the Chiefs and Rams.
Yeah.
So, the Chargers, 2-2, they're better than what they've got so far. I mean, going up against the Rams, Chiefs, those are their 2 losses.
Chucky got his win. Chucky got his win.
Chucky got some help in getting his win.
Yeah, that's true, too. That is true. I will agree with you there.
They barely pulled that out. So, I think Chargers pull this out at home against the Raiders. I just don't see the Raiders there yet.
Yeah, what people aren't seeing is Phillip Rivers is playing some good football right now.
Yeah.
I like the Los Angeles Chargers in this game. There's far too many inconsistencies with Oakland. Yeah, you put up a lot of points against the Cleveland Browns, but you were favored in that game by like 7 or something. I don't know. You didn't even get close to that. So like the Chargers, you like the Chargers, but Lady Edith once again says, no, I don't know what you guys
believe, are thinking. I believe she is on Chucky's side. I don't think this is 5, but it's at least 4 times
she's picked the Raiders. All right, there you go. So finally, the 3 nap games of the week. Nap games, here you go. I'm just going to say the game, and you tell me who you got. Tennessee at Buffalo.
I've got Tennessee in this one. Tennessee's been strong, played some tight games, won some tight games.
Yep.
They're in every game they play. Bills, who knows what we're going to get out of them. So.
Yeah, I got the Tennessee Titans too. So does Lady Edith. Look, the thing about the Titans is they're 3-1. You're 3-1. They're 3-1 for a reason. It's not like you've beaten like a bunch of, you know, cream puffs. You've beaten some really solid football teams. I think they'll take care of business. I think what we saw from the Bills was a galvanization. That win against Minnesota where they like were lights out. Everybody was like, you know, everybody was talking smack about the Bills. Vontae Davis had quit on them at halftime and the whole works. And I think a team after, well, you know, you hear that all week, you come out to show something.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of gone now.
We're reverting to the mean.
Yeah, reverting to the mean, and they'll be right there. I like Tennessee in that game. The New York Giants travel to Carolina to face the Panthers.
I mean, what can I say? It's the Giants.
Yeah.
We talked about them. They're, what, by our estimation, 2, maybe 3 weeks away from imploding.
3 weeks from imploding.
So,
yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I got the Panthers.
Oh, my God. You know, it just for fun, because I'm, you know, this cruel, I've got to see this. I want to see what the New York Giants are going to be like in 3 weeks just by looking at their schedule. And, ooh, man. Okay, so they're at Carolina this week. Then they have the Philadelphia Eagles. Then they go to Atlanta. And then they host the Redskins at home. And then they have a bye week. So, 2, 3, 4, they could be 1-7 going into their bye. I mean, people will be calling for Eli's head.
So the Giants' offensive line has given up 15 sacks so far this year. I mean, they're not keeping Eli upright.
Yeah, well, you know, Eli is not the most mobile of quarterbacks to begin with, but
yeah, but yeah,
15 sacks, that's not good.
But if you're not mobile, get rid of the ball faster. That's he's not
true.
Doing that either.
No,
so
he's not. So we all have the Panthers, even Lady Edith. Final game of the week, the Arizona Cardinals travel to San Francisco to face the 49ers,
yep.
Lady just got the 49ers, too. Look, I'm not going to lie. I thought when Garoppolo down and they had to go to
C.J.
Bethard. I don't know.
Doesn't matter how you say his name. The dude put up 23 of 37, 298 yards.
He was good against the Chargers.
He was much better than I think anyone expected him to be.
I mean,
so.
I like to joke around and call him Beat Hard, right? But that's probably not here or there. So, Bethard. He was serviceable. I would really like to take the Arizona Cardinals in this game and say Josh Rosen gets his first win because he performed admirably against
the
Seahawks.
Yep.
I just don't know if you can go into a hostile environment like San Francisco, and the 49ers are also trying to kind of like circle their wagons and rally around Bethard. So I'm going to take the 49ers. Lady Edith's got the 49ers, but I would not be surprised if the Cardinals somehow pull this one off.
The last two games, the Cardinals have lost by 2 points in each game.
Yeah.
And it happened right at the end. So they've been in those games.
Yeah.
So
the Cardinals,
you could
are
flip
not
a coin, but I just because they're at home, the 49ers pull this one out.
They're not the team that I expected to see this season at all. The Chicago Bears and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on a bye this week. So the Bucs can, you know, kind of like rally around Jameis Winston and come back and try to get their stuff together. Remember the lock, the Denver Broncos +2 if you can get them, take them all the way up to like a -2. I think they'll win that game against the Jets. Anything else you've got?
Well, for those of you keeping score at home, since I know you've got your handy dandy NFL rant and rave scorekeeping pick cards that
yes.
we let you print off,
yes.
please don't look for those on the website.
Where are you?
We have one challenge game that I need to pick this week.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And if you have been paying attention, there is really only one game for me to choose this week.
We agreed on every single game except for the El Juego Gigante Estipendo de la Semana.
So not only is it the super big great game of the week.
Wow.
But it's the only one I can choose.
I think Sunday morning you got to come watch this game. We got to watch this game together.
We might have to.
We might have to. I mean, Jags, Chiefs, early game Sunday. It is the giant game of the week. And I've got the Chiefs, you've got the Jags, and that is the only game we differed on?
It is the only game there.
Wow. So let just real quickly recap. Week one, it's a tie. Ugh. You win weeks 2 and 3, both of my picks. which just I finally got a win last week, and so you have
thanks for the bad play calling, a
2-1 lead over me. But here's the thing. Because of that week one tie, there are 21 weeks. If you go all the way through the Super Bowl, there are 21 weeks. Because of that tie, there is the possibility that we could end at a 10-10 tie, including the Super Bowl. I hope that doesn't happen. That would be awful.
It would just kind of be an entire waste of the season, right? I mean, the only reason we do this is for the challenge game.
Exactly.
The rest of this is just window dressing.
Just fun. So I guess you're locking it in because it is the only game we're different.
Yeah, I don't have a choice. I mean, I can either go no pick, which takes all the fun out of it, or that one.
All right, so he's locking it in. The Kansas City Chiefs for me, the Jacksonville Jaguars for him, and I have a strange, funny feeling that it'll be all tied up at two at the end of this week.
Oh, boy.
Oh, talking smack already. Wherever in this great world of ours that you are listening, thank you very much. This has been Stephen Miranda.
And Steve Fry.
For NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.